But here we are once again, the Lord's Day, gathered here to learn about what Psalm 134 has for us. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us, another day to praise you, worship you, cherish you, and love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all of the people who are going to join us online and here later, Lord. I ask that your spirit be among us, that we all may be blessed with some of your wisdom, Lord, that you provide in this psalm. And I ask that all who hear online may be edified as well, Lord. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, let me put my little timer on real quick. Okay, so our psalm this morning is Psalm 134. So, blessing, the bestowal of good, receiving God's compassion, provisions, or favor resulting in flourishing and multiplication of life, joy, prosperity, and protection. God's mercy is extended to all creatures that are living. Life itself is a blessing. Every day anyone takes another breath of the air that God has created. I suppose the wicked benefit from that blessing because the Lord allows them to breathe and live as well. But bless the Lord. How do we begin to bless the Lord? How could we lowly, sinful creatures bless the Lord? The Lord does not need us. He is eternal, holy, the creator of the universe and all who are within it. He is the blesser. Can we extend mercy, grace, atonement? What does the living and active word mean by bless the Lord? Well, as we continue our time together in this wonderful psalm, Psalm 134, we have reached the final song in the collection of the Songs of Ascent. As the pilgrims would have attended the feasts and visited the temple to worship the Lord, this song would be most appropriate to sing as the pilgrims' time in Zion would come to an end. God's people would all be returning to the places from which they had traveled, leaving with a renewed joy and spirit and with memories of corporate worship with the brethren in the presence of the Almighty. Now, although God is not confined by the walls of the temple in the city of Jerusalem, it would have been a great joy to be a united body in the temple of the Lord, his final resting place among his people. A place where the priests work day and night on the behalf of the people, worshiping, praising, and making sacrifice to the Lord for his chosen. Upon an early morning departure before sunrise, they would encourage the servants of the Lord to continue to bless him with all their souls. In return, a blessing of the Lord would be reciprocated to the departing pilgrims from the servants of the Lord, that all who have come to Zion may receive the blessing of the eternal Lord of hosts. So this morning, I will share with you two points that are being made in this psalm. The first point we'll find in verses 1 through 2, 1 and 2, encouragement to bless the Lord. And our second and final point this morning is found in verse 3. Is the benediction from the eternal Creator. Now, if you haven't already, please open your copy of God's living and active word to Psalm 134, and I will begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 134 and verse 1. A song of degrees. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, by which night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. So our first point this morning is encouragement to bless the Lord in verses 1 through 2. So I'm going to start with behold. So the psalmist opens this verse with the word behold, which means to observe, to look at, to see. In this verse, it is not just any old look and see, though. In this verse, the word behold is used to catch the attention of the reader to be especially attentive to the next thing that is about to be said because it is of high importance, to be careful with the information that is about to be revealed. Here are some of the many instances where the word behold is used in the same context we find in our psalm. Genesis chapter 9, verse 9. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Isaiah 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. So the Lord chose to use this word throughout his book to reveal key sayings, doctrine, covenants, prophecy, and how we are to respond to him And in some cases, it just simply means to see. We find out after the comma what we are supposed to be very attentive to. What the psalmist is sharing is to be taken seriously, that it is something so essential that it requires extra attention. That extra attention is called to bless ye the Lord. Which brings us to our initial question. How can a creation bless its creator? We see in verse 2, the psalmist is calling out to lift your hands, which answers our question and brings clarity as to how the chosen bless the Lord. Lift up your hands in an act of worship and praise the Lord. So in faith and obedience to the Lord is blessed when his chosen are engaging in the act of holy worship. So far, in verse 1, we have a call to attention by the usage of the word behold and what it is that is important to bless the Lord in obedient praise and worship. Now, the third portion of this verse all ye servants of the Lord. All of God's chosen are his servants, from Abraham the faithful, Moses the deliverer, David the king, Isaiah the prophet, Melchizedek the high priest, to all of you. Indeed, all the Lord's chosen are his servants and should bless the Lord with adoration, honor, and respect in praise and worship. But then we receive another detail in the fourth portion of the verse, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. So while all the chosen should bless the Lord, this verse is directed at the servants which by night stand in the house of the Lord. The priests who are in the house of the Lord working night and day, worshiping the Lord, teaching the people the ways of the Lord, and making daily sacrifice on behalf of the people to the Lord. These sacrifices happened on Sabbaths, during festivals, and other special occasions. This is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the priestly duties. And if anybody's interested in researching about that, you can find the priestly duties in Leviticus. These priests who were working in the wee hours of the morning when the pilgrims were gathering their families and their belongings to make the journey back to their homes, who is who the psalmist is singing to. So the pilgrimage has come to an end. They've already celebrated. Now they're packing up things and getting ready to head back, journey back to where they came from. Moving on to verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The lifting of hands is a very common posture of praise. We still do it to this day. It is a gesture of gratitude and thanksgiving and a thankful posture of receiving of God's blessings. If you think about it, just imagine a criminal who is on the run from the law. He is hiding and trying his best to evade the law. Eventually, he gets caught by the law. He raises his hands, signaling to the police that he has given up running and is now surrendering. The raising of hands is also a universal sign of surrender. A rebellious people surrendering their rebellion against the Lord and receiving his blessing of redemption. This is what the psalmist is singing to the priests as they are in the sanctuary to worship the Lord with surrendered rebellion and to worship with thanks. To engage in holy worship in reverence to the Lord in complete vulnerability, hands toward heaven with joy. Our next point is the benediction from the eternal creator, which is verse 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion. The song ends with a beautiful benediction that the priest would have responded with to the pilgrims. It is the shorter version of the high priest's blessing to each and every individual in Israel, which I'm going to go ahead and read that for you guys. It's from Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This benediction is a farewell to all of the God's pilgrims who are traveling back to their homes, that from Zion in heaven and on earth, that the Lord who created the universe will bless each person that belongs to him wherever they may live. No matter how far from Jerusalem they may be, the blessing comes from the true Zion in heaven. The Lord is not confined to the Holy of Holies in the temple, but has dominion over all in heaven. Okay. So, brothers and sisters, this short but sweet psalm is such a great ending to the pilgrim's journey to Zion. The pilgrims faced a long journey as they ascended to the city of Zion. They came from various parts of the world. The journey was difficult, and they faced many challenges along the way. There was deliverance, affliction, redemption, and upon arrival to the city, joy, worship, and praise. When their time in the city came to an end, they departed the city, blessing the priests, and the priests blessing them from on high. Much like the pilgrimage, we too are on a journey. A journey to the celestial city. The redeemed are on a path that is hard and narrow. There are traps laid before us to the left and to the right of the path. We must depend on the Lord for guidance, lest we step off the path looking for a shortcut and end up in places like Doubting Castle and facing giant despair, or falling asleep on the enchanted ground, becoming spiritually complacent and fatigued, which is mentioned by John Bunyan in his book, Pilgrim's Progress. The best part of all the suffering along the way, brothers and sisters, is that when we reach the celestial city, Zion, when we reach the end of our journey, the last song of the Song of Ascents, there will be no ending. There will be no departure from Zion. We will not return from where we journeyed from. We will be with our Lord at the end of our journey. And that is what these songs of ascents represent. Our spiritual walk to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you all to stay the course. Read your Bibles daily. Don't wander into the doubting castle. Don't become spiritually complacent. Feed your souls with the spiritual bread that is only found in the living text on the pages in your Bibles. Bless the Lord in fear and trembling. Honor, love, adore, praise, worship, cherish the Lord with all your being. Raise your hands and surrender your rebelliousness daily and worship the Lord, for he has been gracious to you and will continue to be gracious to you forever and ever. That short introduction leads us into the next section of our lesson today. We are going to examine 3 points. The first point being, living on the opposite side of blessing. Our second point, blessing for the wicked. And our third point, responding to the blessing of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, living on the opposite side of blessing. Free from righteousness, evil continually, haters of God, all who oppose the Lord are on the opposite side of blessing. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Self-help, self-love, self. What can you do to better your life now? It is all about you. Indulging in all things that satisfy the flesh, drinking, lust, sexual immorality, anything and everything you can think of is on the list of things on how to live your best life now. There's little to no struggle while engaging in sinful activity, and the conscience is often silenced to the point that it also begins to agree with the sinful actions. Justification for those actions, even if they are wrong, is the norm. The wicked's view of righteousness is selfishness. They are the captains of their lives, and they are the sole authority that rules their lives. They answer to nobody but themselves. At least that is what they think. Little do the wicked know that although they think they are living their best lives now, they are only storing up wrath for themselves, a wrath that will be eternal. They are living in Adam, the curse. The law that was given to Moses by the Lord is what they will be judged by and will be condemned to a place outside of the light of God, a place that is dark, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Condemnation and death is the reward for the wicked deeds of the sinner without Christ. There is no hope in their lives. The thought of eternity never crosses their minds. They are blind and deceived by their own hearts. They are of their father, the devil. All there is for the children of wrath is death. Now that's the living on the opposite side of blessing. Second point this morning is blessing of salvation for the wicked. Though there is no hope for the wicked, one man came to give the wicked hope. We were all at one time children of wrath, influenced by the prince of the power of the air like the rest of mankind, hopeless without God and the world. But God finds no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Chapter 33, verse 11. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus testified to the world the truth that is in the scriptures. He was lifted and glorified on the cross, taking upon himself the full wrath that we deserve. He took upon himself condemnation and death on the behalf of all who call upon his name. He saved us from his wrath. He delivered us from the bondage of sin that leads to the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Delivering us from death, he made us alive together in him, that we might turn from our evil ways and live. He is the hope of all the chosen. His offering of peace on the cross gives us the path to our best lives that is yet to come. When we reach Zion and are face to face with him, that, brothers and sisters, will be our best lives. Our third, final point this morning is responding to the blessing of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The free gift of salvation that we receive starts internally. Our hearts and our minds are renewed, and our direction and allegiance to this world changes. Our hearts begin to seek out the things of the Lord, to learn His ways. We struggle with the old thoughts and the old habits and that we used to have. Simple acts we used to find pleasure in are not intriguing to us anymore. The temptations are there, but we have a free choice now to give into temptation or not. Where before giving into temptation was the norm, the response that is generated in our salvation is that thanksgiving and obedience. Now, we can find throughout the Bible how we should respond to salvation. But I chose to go with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. So, brothers and sisters, if you don't mind opening your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 25. And another thing I'd like to mention about this is this exercise this morning is the first step to applying Scripture in your life is reading it. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 25. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, but things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like the Lamb without blemish or spot. He was forsaken before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is good news that was preached to you. Brothers and sisters, so we should walk and love each other, hold each other up, lift up each other. We should praise and worship our Lord. That's how we bless Him. That's how we respond to His salvation in our lives. We go out to the world and preach His gospel. To the ends of the world, regardless of what the outcome may be. We are to walk in obedience to him, to walk in his truth. He has given us faith to do so. And he is our hope. Brothers and sisters, we were all once children of wrath until the Lord blessed us with the free gift of salvation. With that blessing, we should bless the Lord with obedience, praise, worship, honor, love, adoration, and thanks. Jesus came to us, gave us victory in him, and we owe him everything. I encourage you all, brothers and sisters, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Our reward awaits us in heaven. Let us pray. Our merciful and gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for those who are believing in him, who will believe and who have believed, Lord. We thank you for this sweet psalm that you have given us this morning and the time that you have allowed us to be together in your word, Lord. Lord, I ask that you might bless today's corporate worship, that we will be engaged today, and Lord, that you may give Brother Greg the words that are needed to feed your sheep, Lord. Pray that your spirit might be with everybody in this room and those who have been providentially hindered from joining us this morning, Lord, that all might be edified and fed by your true and living word, your bread, the perfect food for our souls. I ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.